Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup.
We'll live up to our agreement, and we expect that they will live up to theirs.
The announcement from Indiana Corrections Commissioner Gordon Faulkner at the end of a day-long siege at the state reformatory in Pendleton. Ned Potter is on the scene and files this report.
It started with a prison search at breakfast and ended with a grudging agreement at midnight. The inmates released their two remaining hostages and in exchange were allowed to read a list of grievances.
Provide adequate food, water, and shelter for all inmates. Pay raises for inmates.
Seven guards and two inmates were reported injured when the crisis began. Most of them were stabbed with makeshift knives. The prisoners took control of a cell block while guards in riot gear assembled outside. Hours of negotiation followed, with the inmates finally winning a promise that the state would ask the federal government to investigate their complaints. Six inmates read the list of grievances to reporters, with the rest of the cell block trying to listen on walkie-talkies. The prisoners then returned to their cells. Officials only said they were glad it was over. The inmates said their list of grievances was only a drop in the bucket. Ned Potter, CBS News, Pendleton, Indiana.
Thousands of so-called undesirable Cubans who came to the U.S. during the 1980 Mariel boat lift are facing deportation because Supreme Court Justice William Rehnquist has refused to delay the move. Ted Vygotsky of WGST Atlanta reports.
Justice Rehnquist's decision means that U.S. immigration officials may begin deporting the Cubans as soon as possible. Dale Schwartz is one of the attorneys representing the nearly 1,500 detainees imprisoned at the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary. He charges he and his associates have been trying in vain for over 2.5 years to get the government to give the detainees a simple hearing, and that they are still willing to do it all at once on a class-wide basis.
I think that the reason that the government doesn't want to give them that hearing is the government knows darn good and well that we can prove that these people will be persecuted if they're sent back to Cuba. We have overwhelming evidence from people who have gone back and have been tortured.
U.S. officials have maintained that the refugees are excludable because the Castro government took advantage of the 1980 Mariel boat lift to empty Cuba's jails of misfits. Ted Vygotsky for CBS News, Atlanta.
Winter is on the loose again, hurling snow, freezing rain, and bitter cold at the south and east. We have reports from stations WREC in Memphis, WRSA in Huntsville, Alabama, and KLBJ in Austin.
This is Paul Fisher in Memphis. Flurries are continuing at this hour, following as much as 8 inches of new snow in West Tennessee. A traveler's advisory is in effect for the entire state as the storm moves eastward across Tennessee. Already hard hit is Coffee County in the middle portion of the state. 4 inches of ice fell overnight. Many houses are without power and shelters are set up for those in trouble. Terry Champion of the Coffee County Civil Defense Force.
About as soon as they get power restored, we have transformers blow up again and then they're back out of power again.
Meanwhile, in West Tennessee, behind the storm, authorities say it may be early next week before any real digging out can begin. Paul Fisher for CBS News, Memphis.
This is Paul Peterson in Huntsville, Alabama, where the most damaging ice storm since 1959 continues to cripple traffic and power lines, forcing residents to flee to emergency shelters. A utilities official says work crews have been on the job around the clock repairing broken lines, but for every outage corrected, it seems new accumulations of ice are causing another. The entire interstate system in northern Alabama is shut down, and in the Muscle Shoals area, where up to 11 inches of ice was recorded in some locations, police have begun issuing traffic tickets to joyriding motorists. Paul Peterson for CBS News, Huntsville, Alabama.
I'm Andrea Morrow in Austin. Temperatures in the teens and icy streets mark the third time this year the capital of the Lone Star State has seen snow, though the Texas Highway Department has been working since Friday morning to sand roads and overpasses, travel remains hazardous. City officials opened public buildings and utilized city buses last night to provide shelter for stranded motorists. More snow is forecast for the coming week, and it's snowing in the Sun Belt. I'm Andrea Morrow for CBS News, Austin.
The administration has been pulling the wraps off its budget plans the last few days, and the deep cuts which have been revealed for many programs are bringing howls of protest. John Ferrugia has a report.
President Reagan will take his appeal for budget cuts to the airwaves later today in his weekly radio address. His budget, to be officially handed out on Capitol Hill, is being sold by the administration as an overall freeze on spending. But for many specific entitlement programs, that means a dramatic cut or outright elimination. Among the losers, Amtrak and Mass Transit, farmers whose price supports are being cut, federal employees who would get a 5% pay cut, and retired military and government workers on pensions whose cost of living increases would be frozen. The Defense Department is the biggest winner with a 12% increase. That comes to $277 billion in 1986, or about 27% of the budget. Mr. Reagan continues to argue that the military buildup is needed to show U.S. resolve in arms negotiations with the Soviets. Congressional Democrats and also some Republicans aren't buying that. So while the budget released on Capitol Hill may be what the president wants, it may be a far cry from what he actually gets. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
It's only 6 weeks until the U.S. and the USSR sit down for new arms control negotiations, but the Reagan administration has issued sharp criticism of Soviet compliance with past agreements. Deborah Potter is at the State Department.
The head of the Arms Control Agency says the Soviet violations are a serious matter, and Kenneth Edelman told reporters they not only call into question the benefits of arms control, they could create new security risks for the United States. But Edelman said that doesn't mean the U.S. shouldn't try to reach new arms control agreements with Moscow. Continuing negotiations, he said, can give us leverage to get the Soviets to abide by existing agreements, while working to be sure any new agreements are effective and verifiable. Another administration official said the violations report is bound to affect the talks in Geneva next month, but there was no sign of any concern that the Soviets might take offense and stay home. Officials say that none of the charges should take the Kremlin by surprise. But the Soviets can be expected to express some disbelief at the administration's concern about Soviet preparations for a prohibited defense system. In their view, that's precisely what the U.S. is up to with the so-called Star Wars plan. Deborah Potter, CBS News, the State Department.
President Reagan is polishing the first State of the Union address of his new term and nursing a midwinter cold in the relaxed atmosphere of Camp David this weekend. He'll return to the White House tomorrow afternoon. California state officials are investigating a suburban church daycare center in Los Angeles where youngsters from the McMartin preschool allegedly witnessed animal sacrifices to frighten them into silence about sexual molestations. Yesterday, a second child testified at the preliminary hearing in the McMartin case. Militiamen are on the alert in Tripoli, Lebanon today for more booby-trapped vehicles after an explosion killed at least 12 people and wounded 58 others. In Beirut, the cabinet plans to meet today on the economy and a transfer of power following Israel's planned withdrawal from southern Lebanon. It's 10 after.